Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason. Watch us on MileHighSports.com. Listen on Mile High Sports Radio, of course. You can listen on the Mile High Sports app, or if you're joining us on 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3 FM in the Denver area, you can listen that way. I'm Andrew Mason, Eric Goodman on assignment today. And so I am remotely broadcasting from the Midwest. I was on my way back from Cleveland to Wisconsin. Didn't make it that far. I'm currently actually just in Chicago, not too far from O'Hare Airport. Meanwhile, back in the Mile High Sports studio, the one and only Anilo Pirro doing triple duty on a Friday once again. How are you, my friend?
I am good, Mace, hanging loose. It's been a good week doing some more sports talk day after the Broncos game, getting ready to bet the Sunday NFL slate, got some college football, going to a concert tonight. All is well here in the Mile High City, my friend.
Now tell me, what bets did you have going on Broncos, Browns, and how did they come out?
So I actually ended up dead even for the night because I last second felt inspired to put some money on the Broncos money line, which ended up backfiring. But the one bet which I actually gave out on the show yesterday that cashed is I actually put together a little teaser. So I put the Broncos +7. I teased them up to 7. And then I moved the total up a little bit and bet the under. So my teaser ended up hitting, but you know, my instinct got the best of me and I ended up even for the night because I for some reason decided to bet the Broncos.
Oh yeah, so I did sad too. You know what? The thing is, I got to learn my lesson. I have to stick with my original season picks. If I had done that, I'd be in so much better shape. If I had stuck with my original season picks, at least when it came to on the money line straight up, I'd be 4-3 right now.
Wow.
Instead, I got sucked in.
Yeah, it's easy to get sucked in sometimes. And I mean, I found myself like, okay, like they've lost 3 in a row. We've all heard about the noise and the music surrounding Fangio and Shurmur and Bridgewater. And I'm like, you know, they got to put their best foot forward, right? Yeah. You know, Cleveland's decimated with injuries. And I think that's just what makes the loss all that much worse is you got beat by Case Keenum and just the tackling. Yeah. I mean, it just looks like there's a lack of energy.
Yeah. Actually, I misstated the Broncos would be 4-3 if they had my original picks. I would have been 6-1.
Ooh.
The only game I would have missed would have been the Raider game.
Interesting.
I thought they would lose to the Ravens, the Steelers, and the Browns. I thought they would go 0-for those three against the AFC North this month, and they did. But I got sucked in. And honestly, this game in Elo, I picked the Broncos just because I didn't have confidence in Case Keenum.
Yeah, and it's crazy because you see what Case Keenum can do, you know, when he's playing with confidence. Yeah. And it's just one of those things, you know, they put up that graphic in the beginning of the game of all the starting quarterbacks, which they did snub Kendall Hinton, by the way. I did notice that. They didn't put his name on there.
He didn't start, though.
Who started that game?
Philip Lindsay took the first snap in a Wildcat formation. They didn't have a quarterback on the first snap. Which, you know what? I think that was just not being able to see the forest for the trees, okay? You should have given him the start.
Yeah,
you should have given him that first snap. But that's just one of the little things as far as like doing right by people.
Yeah.
That Vic Fangio seems to get wrong time and again.
Yeah. No, and I just think, you know, the energy that radiated from that team last night, I'm sure you have a much better sense of that than I did. But I was downtown at a bar last night. Plenty of Broncos fans leaving the bar with their heads held low. Just everyone. I mean, it's just starting to feel like deja vu here once again, like the last 4 years creeping back up on you. And it's a sickening feeling for many of these Broncos fans out here.
Yeah, it's a good transition. What we're going to talk about right away. Time now for the lead.
The lead is presented by Marco's Pizza in Aurora, where everything is fresh, never frozen, like the dough and sauces to go with hand-cut meats and veggies. Order today at either location, off Smoky Hill Road or Quincy in Aurora.
Well, Anilo, you said it. Broncos country really feeling kind of down last night. And seeing, at least on social media, the tenor of Broncos fans that I've seen in my mentions again and again and again over the last 18 hours or so. A lot of those people probably wanted a head on the platter today, wouldn't you say?
Yes, and I think there was a lot of people expecting that, to be honest with you.
Right. Maybe not the head coach, maybe Pat Shurmur, but or some other staff change, or maybe even just saying, we're going to put Teddy Bridgewater on injured reserve and we're going to have to play Drew Lock. None of that happened today. Vic Fangio, last night after the 17-14 loss, was asked whether he would consider any changes to who calls the plays, and he said no. Anilo, were you surprised that here nearly 24 hours after the loss, there weren't any changes on the staff?
No. I mean, maybe I guess I shouldn't say no just flat out like that. I guess maybe I'm a little surprised, but it's not shocking, I guess I should say, because I don't really understand what the direction is with this team right now. But from Fangio's perspective, like, I'm not shocked with what even he says either, because it just seems like he's content, right? He's done things his way for a long time. And I just think it's one of those things where it just kind of feels like the ship is sinking to a degree, and it's kind of up to George Payton and company to decide how they want to try to plug some of these holes. I was a little surprised. I mean, like, what are they doing? They ran the ball, I think Danny mentioned to me, like 12 times last night or something along those lines. Like, the offensive play calling just continues to leave question after question after question. And I just think, like, the lack of an acknowledgement towards it, right? I mean, you just have Fangio with typical coach speak of Teddy's our quarterback, and then I just got the update on my phone of I'm not concerned about my job, I'm concerned about this team. Like, it just seems very cut and dry with what's coming out of the locker room right now.
Yeah, he said we a lot more today than he has in past press conferences. Like, it's usually been time and again, we hear of him talking about how, this was the game plan. This is what, we worked on screen passes. Hey, we worked on the run game,
right?
From a defensive perspective. And yet you see the results time and again. I think I heard him say we more at this press conference in the last hour than I ever have. And when you see a change like that, you know that somebody whispered in his ear and said, you need to strike a different tone there, Vic.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting because, it kind of, to me, the lack of adjustment is the one kind of characteristic that I've seen from this Vic Fangio era. Is it seems like it's always that same old song and dance, right? And for the first three games this year, you saw Teddy Bridgewater in the offense kind of wipe the slate clean to a degree, but now here we are kind of come back down to earth, and it looks like that 3-0 start was more so a product of a soft schedule, and you've got Fangio, still kind of leading the charge in the same way in which he has over the last 2 years. Just doesn't seem like there's a lot of adjustment from the, veteran coach as a first-time head coach.
Yeah, and kind of looking at the play calling as well, speaking of adjustment, first half, Broncos ran 16 plays, 10 pass plays, 6 runs. Second half, Broncos have 25 pass plays, 8 runs. Yes, you're behind. You start off 10 points down when the second half begins. You quickly close that down to 1 score. But in what universe should this team in a competitive game be passing the ball 3 times as often as it runs in the second half?
I completely agree. And I it was just one of those things where the entire game just felt deflating. It can, all things considered as well, looking at who they're playing against, and not just the team, but the players and the personnel. It was just crazy to see they looked like the B side for a team that should have been the A side, considering where they were at, health-wise compared to Cleveland. I mean, Cleveland, they got out-coached, Denver did, outplayed, out-efforted. I don't even know if that's a word. It's just across the board, Cleveland came to play and Denver didn't.
Yeah, and they came to play. The Broncos, they were banged up. The Broncos got banged up in that game, what we learned today. Von Miller has an ankle sprain. No update as to the severity of it, although he did address the media last night. And Von did not... Put it this way, Vaughn did not hobble up to the lectern the way that Teddy Bridgewater was hobbling up to the lectern on Sunday and again on Tuesday. Micah Kizer, who started at linebacker yesterday with a groin injury, he's going to miss a couple of weeks. Looks like the same thing for Mike Purcell, who's got a thumb injury. If you thought the Broncos were in bad shape defending the run last night, what if they have to play a full game without Miller and Purcell and Kizer on top of the players that they've already lost in the front 7?
That is not going to be good. And I believe they've got what, Philadelphia coming up in their next game, and they got the Dallas,
Washington,
Philadelphia after the Dallas game. And I, you know, Dallas just a couple of weeks away. They've been running the ball, you know, heavily with Tony Pollard and Zeke Elliott. You know, Philadelphia, they've got the running. You know, Jalen Hurts can move in and around the pocket. You need those guys to help contain the run game. And I mean, it seems like, you know, because the run game always sets up the passing game, right? And it's just like, if you can't stop the run game, even if it's Washington, who has not been the best team this year, I mean, they're going to be able to do damage. And I know it's the NFC East, but these next three games, even those ones against the Eagles and the Washington football team, not going to be a cakewalk by any stretch, even though they're at home.
There's no game, I think, right now that if you're the Broncos, you can put in Sharpie and say that's a win.
Yeah.
Not even the Lions game in December.
Yeah, that's such a, that's a shame.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I mean, it is a mess right now.
Yeah, and it's just crazy to see how, you know, this team starts out 3-0. Everyone's kind of riding on their high horse. You know, there's some optimism. You know, I don't think anyone got super carried away. But, like, let me ask you this, a quick question. Like, what changed? Like, what was the difference in energy? Because it just seemed like the moment the Baltimore Ravens came to town, the moment a team with some legitimate talent came to town, they got punched in the mouth, and they still haven't been able to get back up.
It's funny because I was going to use that exact same analogy when I was listening to you ask that question. They got punched in the mouth and they didn't have a counterpunch. They, you know what? They were a bully who, at the first glimpse of somebody that was their own size or bigger, had no counterpunch. They just had to sit there and take it. They were, you know, they were willing to pick on the wimpy kids in class, but when they had to meet somebody on their level or above, and the reason why I say on their level is, I mean, you can say Baltimore's a Super Bowl contender, and I think that's perfectly valid. But Pittsburgh's a middling team like the Broncos are.
Right.
The Raiders maybe a bit better on balance talent-wise. Certainly, the Raiders should not be up on you 31-10 in Denver late in the third quarter. Okay. They're not that much better. But literally, you were going up against your peer group, and you found yourself three scores behind at the end of the third quarter both times. And then Cleveland's better than you when it's straightforward. But then given what they lost last night, came into that game probably on equal terms, and they smacked you in the mouth too.
Yeah, I mean, there's just literally nothing to build confidence off of right now. I mean, the defense is getting bulldozed. You know, the secondary is getting torched. Von Miller gets hurt. The pass rush isn't looking great. I mean, the only thing that gives you any sort of semblance of optimism is the fact that Jerry Jeudy's probably going to come back and play for you guys this week. I mean, other than that, like, there is nothing inspiring about the way the Broncos have played football the last 4 weeks.
Nothing at all. And they've lost. They haven't inspired their fans. They haven't inspired themselves. We're going to get into that on the other side in the second hour. But coming up in the next segment, what went wrong? We've started getting into that, but was this rock bottom for the Denver Broncos, or is rock bottom yet to come? Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, MileHighSports.com, Mile High Sports Radio, 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3 FM. Eric Goodman on assignment, Neil Opiro in for him. I'm Andrew Mason. Stay tuned. Plenty more to come on Afternoon Drive.
Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason. Watch us on MileHighSports.com. You can also listen to us there. And if you missed the show live, you can listen to the podcast version of the show there, with everything that gets posted afterward. Of course, you can also listen in the Denver area on Mile High Sports Radio, 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3 FM. Eric Goodman on assignment today. Probably wanted no part of the of dealing with the wrath of Broncos country. I'm Andrew Mason. He and Eric is being replaced today by Inigo Piro. If you want to reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, he's at Media by AP. I am at Mace Denver, of course. And let me ask you this, Anilo. Have you sensed in the last 20 hours or so discontent among Broncos fans to the point where they may stop watching the team, whether in person or on television?
I get the sense. Will it actually happen? I don't know. But I definitely get that just wretched feeling about the team, right? It almost kind of feels like when the Met fan, you know, that I've been a part of, when they just get disgusted with the team and, you know, Brody, like the Brody Van Wagenen era, you know, or it's just like you knew that you were playing for nothing. You knew that you didn't have the right guy in the driver's seat. The disgust is definitely there. I think, you know, this is what, year five, year six now of spinning in circles for the Broncos. I definitely sense it, Mace, but we'll see if that actually ends up happening when it comes to butts in the seats and viewership numbers on the TV.
This is literally the, like I said earlier, this is literally the fifth consecutive year they've had a losing record after seven games.
Wow. That's awful. They,
and 3-4 is the best they've been. They were 2-5 a couple of years ago, 3-4 four other times, including this year. And it's funny, they got to 3-4 last year in spite of starting 0-3. This year they started 3-0 and they still got to 3-4. I mean, they have figured out every single way to get to 3-4 after seven games. They've had the slow start. They've had the fast start. They were 3-1 back in Vance Joseph's first year in 2017. And then they lost three games and then they lost five more. And that's another thing, is that you're getting used to seeing a four game losing streak, at least one of them, and sometimes longer in the case of 2017. But you're getting used to seeing these four-game losing streaks or more every year.
Yeah, it's infuriating, you know, and it's just a sign of where the team is at. Like, they are who they are at this point. Like, it's either, you can't have any more wishful thinking. And, I mean, it's just one of those things, Mace. I've said it on my show a couple of times this week, and, you know, it's just like they go to Walgreens, the Broncos do, whoever it is, whether it's Joe Ellis, John Elway, and they try to buy the biggest Band-Aid possible to slap open this wound. But what there is no Band-Aid big enough to help fix the Broncos' injuries and issues right now. This is a team that needs to go under the knife, needs a surgery, and needs to rebuild this organization from the ground up. There is no quick plug-in-and-play fix for this team to be had. I guess Aaron Rodgers is the only person you can consider that would fit that mold, but just they've tried everything. At some point, you've got to tear it down and build it back up. That's my two cents. But you mentioned it. 3-4, 3-4, 3-4, 3-4. At what point do you just stop going crazy and commit to something?
This thing is like an onion. The more layers you peel, the more it stinks.
Exactly. I think you couldn't have said it better. And the thing is, we've seen Band-Aid after Band-Aid after Band-Aid. And that, you know what? That was the justifiable objection to Teddy Bridgewater, I think, going into this year, that it's just another veteran Band-Aid that you try. You tried it with Case Keenum. You tried it with Joe Flacco. And now you're trying it with Teddy Bridgewater. Hey, to go back even further to 2016, you tried it with Mark Sanchez.
Right.
And Sanchez didn't even end up making the team. But they keep going for these scratch and dent veterans. The defensible thing for playing Drew Lock was, okay, he's young. You gotta figure it out. But I think George Payton was also thinking this year in terms of, okay, I want to give Vic Fangio a fair shot.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that shot has been given. And I think, you know, George Payton now has to look at this thing objectively. It's like, okay, you know, you did what you could do for the man, and you did. But, I mean, you got to look at it objectively. You know, you're brought in here to right the ship. And I think that's the one person that you still look at who has some degree of objectivity about, you know, what's been happening the last few years. Hopefully he recognizes it for what it is and able to diagnose the issue and move forward. But again, you still, this is all happening, Mason. You and I have talked about this extensively. This is all happening with a looming ownership change overhead. You know, I mean, there's a chance that George Payton isn't even the guy of choice for the new owner. And that's what makes this, you know, it adds another layer of difficulty in regards to trying to right this ship, because you know you're going to have a new, you know, signal caller, a new head honcho coming in the door, you know, sooner rather than later.
Yep. Time now for the buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Eric Cook at Farmers Insurance, the Cook Insurance Group, focused on people, not policies. Call today at 303-790-8089. That's 303-790-8089.
Broncos country buzzing, and not in a good way today, of course, after Thursday night's 17-14 loss. By the way, yet another game, Anilo, that was not as close as the score would indicate.
That my co-host has said, who was in here with me just a couple minutes ago, that's the exact same thing that he said. It was 17-14, and this game wasn't even close. It felt like it was over the moment the Browns scored that first touchdown. The Broncos went three and out.
Really, of these four losses, the only one with a scoreline that reflected the tenor of the game was the Ravens game, 23-7.
Yeah.
Every other game, the Broncos had to close to make it interesting, at least on the scoreboard. So the score says close game. If you watch the game, you know it wasn't close for most of the way. In fact, what's interesting to look at, Nilo, is with this collection of circumstances, allowing at least 375 yards, failing to gain 225 yards, and losing the turnover battle, the Broncos have lost every time that's happened, and until last night had never lost by fewer than 18 points. And oh, by the way, all time, or since 1940, that circumstance has happened 674 times in the NFL. You know how many teams have managed to win with that set of stats?
I'd assume not a lot.
Two.
Wow.
2-6-71 wow. And one. And the Broncos, by only losing by three, are there among the top 11 team of those 674 teams with 375 yards allowed, fewer than 225 yards gained, and negative turnover margin. So that's what I mean when I say the score really flatters the Broncos in a way they didn't deserve. Given that you lost to a quarterback that you cast aside a couple of years ago, that you lost to a team that was down to its number three running back, who, by the way, absolutely shredded you in D'Ernest Johnson.
Yep.
Was this rock bottom?
I don't think it is, because I can see them losing a bunch more. And that's the thing, is like, we're not even through the halfway point of the season. Maybe rock bottom in the sense of like a single game low of just where you felt completely uninspired. But I think the losing has just begun. I mean, I think that there's a little deeper down you can go. Maybe it's just more so a reassurance. Maybe it's rock bottom in the sense of the awakening of like, oh my gosh, like we're not a good team this year. I think it's really just the tip of the iceberg in regards to some of the struggles you're going to see play out the rest of the way with this team.
Even though you got Jerry Jeudy coming back.
But here's the thing. I mean, I think Jerry Jeudy, you know, getting him back is going to help. But I mean, is it going to be that big of a difference maker in getting a win or a loss? I mean, I don't think so. Maybe Jerry Jeudy gets, maybe there's something to root for. But I mean, at the end of the day, like, you don't want to root for an individual player. You want to root for the team to try to be good. And it seems like the playoffs are already out the window, you know. And I think every game moving forward, even if Jerry Jeudy plays well, you keep losing. It's just a reminder of how far away you are from getting back to that postseason, which at the end of the day, in my opinion, is what matters most.
By the way, you mentioned the postseason. The Broncos have never made the playoffs in a season in which they had a four-game losing streak.
Mm. Well, I think that sums up where we're heading this year.
Yes, and only once have they managed to have a winning season. They went 9-7 back in 2006, when they went from 7-2 to 7-6. And in the middle of that was when they benched Jake Plummer for Jay Cutler.
Mm.
So the four-game losing streak historically for the Broncos has meant, boom, season over.
And, you know, that's the energy we're getting right now. And, I mean, it starts at the top, though. You know, I mean, you see the body language from Coach Fangio. He's clearly frustrated. You see the body language from the players. They're clearly frustrated. I mean, what is going right for this team? And I don't remember the exact analogy that I used, but it's something along the lines of, like, are you winning because you're happy, or are you happy because you're winning? Right. And I think some of the best teams, they win because they're happy. They win because there's continuity. They win because of the brotherhood that is formed within the locker room. It seems like there's anything but continuity going on in that Broncos locker room at the moment.
You know what? I think here's the deal. Vic Fangio, let's face it, he can be a hard ass as a coach, right?
Right.
And he can be hard on his players. You can get away with that if you're winning. Bill Belichick, he, you know, his methodology, as long as the Patriots were winning, people put up with the Patriot way, right?
Right.
Well, then you have his acolytes who take the Patriot way to places like Denver with Josh McDaniels.
Right.
Detroit with Matt Patricia. New York Giants, Joe Judge currently struggling there. And what happens time and again when they try to import the Patriot way, which is basically, you could say, kind of a joyless, unfeeling manner of administration, not very holistic for its players, that when it's not accompanied by winning, guys get angry with it. And that, and I think that's sort of what you're what you have here to some degree. The Broncos aren't winning, and because of that, players, understandably, I think they're not going to put up with that crap.
No, and I mean, you know, that's the big thing of, I know Urban Meyer isn't necessarily a stickler with that stuff, but, you know, there was kind of that notion of, like, you've got to have a certain mentality, right? You can't be too soft. You can't be too hard on these players. They're men, right? You got to treat them as men. You can't try to run a college program, and you can't try to treat them like college players. You know, I mean, these are professional athletes that have worked their way through the ranks. And I think you've seen two sides of this, right? Sometimes you see the coach that's maybe a little too soft when they come in the league. They're not stern enough. And then you've got the vice versa side of it where it's the coach who, and you know, I know Fangio's cut from a different cloth, but he still kind of has that old school. Like, you can tell, you know, he came up in the 90s and the early 2000s with the Ravens and whatnot. He still kind of got that energy to him where, you know, that is a dwindling type of energy in the NFL these days.
Yeah, he came up with the Ravens, and then he has no problem throwing the Ravens under the bus.
Yeah, it's
in recent weeks.
It is something else.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it's like the pivots sometimes that he makes, they're dizzying. I mean, you know, you work for the Ravens and you go out and you kind of praise their style. And then after they run to get 100 yards on the last play, you start saying, well, that's always how they've been. I mean, it's,
yeah, it's
Vic, pick a lane, man.
It's, I saw someone throw out the take of, like, kind of almost comparing Vic to, like, the Wade Phillips type, you know, just great defensive mind. You know, people don't want to not like Vic Fangio. I think Vic Fangio, you know, his personality, there's something, you know, he's just a little old school, but I just don't know if he's cut out to be a head coach, Mason. I mean, we've been talking about this for a minute now. I think we understand, you know, Vic Fangio, the defensive mind, you know, can be good. Obviously, he's not showing for the Broncos defense right now, but I just get the vibe that this is a guy, you know, who waited, got his opportunity. The opportunity's here. He's not going to succeed. And I just, you know, I'm not trying to say he's not going to succeed, but he just seems like he's better suited for a different type of role in the NFL.
And the odds are pretty good now, I think, that at this time next year, he's going to be a very successful defensive coordinator for somebody.
I mean, look at, like, when Chuck Pagano left Indianapolis, right? I know he replaced Vic Fangio in Chicago. He had a couple nice years. You know, I mean, sometimes this just happens. You know, you see, I mean, Gary Kubiak, you know, I know he had some success, you know, as the Broncos head coach, obviously winning the Super Bowl, but you see guys that, you know, maybe they go up and down in their tenure as a head coach. They go somewhere else as a coordinator, you know, revitalize some stuff, and away you go. I mean, you don't always have to be a head coach to have a successful career.
You don't. And Wade Phillips is a great example of that, because you could argue, Wade Phillips maybe could even be a Ring of Famer in Denver,
yeah,
based on what he did as an assistant coach with two very successful tenures as defensive coordinator, even though as a head coach, he was lacking. But that being said, Wade Phillips did coach three different franchises to the playoffs.
Yeah.
I don't think Wade Phillips is a bad head coach.
No, I don't think he's a bad head coach. I just think he's a better defensive coordinator than he is a head coach. You know,
and
you know, sometimes the shoe fits better, you know, depending on the brand.
I mean, yeah, exactly. Wade Phillips had winning seasons in Buffalo, Denver, Dallas. Vic Fangio, if he can't turn it around, is going to have three losing seasons in his time with the Broncos. Those guys, they're not in the same class as head coaches. Coming up on the other side, we'll take the Rocky Mountain Forest Crocs Gambling Challenge. No Broncos game this weekend, so we're going to go around the AFC West with the Chiefs and the Raiders in action, tell you what to expect, who to bet on this weekend. Hey, Anilo is the expert on this. You're going to want to listen to his picks on these two games. On the other side here, Anilo Pirro filling in for Eric Goodman. I'm Andrew Mason. Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, Mile High Sports Radio, milehighsports.com. Losing's one thing we don't play. If you're ever in a fight and you're beating one of us, break out before you get bum rushed at the wall.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason. Watch us on MileHighSports.com. Listen, of course, on Mile High Sports Radio, 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3 FM in Denver. Of course, Eric Goodman on assignment. I'm Andrew Mason. Filling in for Eric Goodman is Anilo Piero. If you want to catch up with us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, he's at Media by AP. I am at Mace Denver. By the way, I was doing something during the break, Anilo. I had this brainstorm. Vic Fangio right now has a 15-24 record as Broncos head coach. That's a .385 winning percentage. And I think it's an interesting exercise to go through and say, okay, let's compare him with some other coaches and say who has a better winning percentage, right? Okay. So I'm going to throw another coach, a few other coaches' names at you real quick, and tell me who had a better winning percentage.
Okay.
Vic Fangio or the coach I have named, all right?
Okay.
Here we go. And this is as a head coach. Vic Fangio or Pat Shurmur, better winning percentage?
I hope Vic Fangio.
He does, yes. Pat Shurmur is down there at a robust 292. Ugh. Vic Fangio or Doug Marrone, recently the Jaguars head coach?
That 2017 year could have padded him. I'll say Doug Marrone.
Correct.
Ooh.
Doug Marrone, 388. Vic Fangio, 385. All right. John McKay, famous for starting off 0-26 with the Bucs, but he did get them turned around.
Ooh, a little longevity there. I mean, if you start off 0-26, that's kind of a deep hole to dig yourself out of. I hope Vic Fangio has a better winning percentage.
He does. John McKay, 337. Okay. Vic Fangio, 385. Although, the thing was, McKay dug himself out, but then in his last 2 years on the job, went 8-24 with Tampa Bay before retiring. All right, one more. Better winning percentage, Adam Gase or Vic Fangio?
Oh, that's such... I'm going to say Vic Fangio just because of how repulsive Adam Gase was as a head coach.
Wrong!
Oh, no!
Gase, 400 winning percentage.
Oh, that's
Vic
gross.
Vic Fangio, 385. Ugh. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Impact Real Estate. Impact Real Estate is creative real estate and solutions with the greatest impact. Go to impactcommercial.co.
I was setting you up there, Anilo, by giving you kind of a going the other way, and I thought you might still say Gase had...
I know.
Had the better winning percentage. Oh, but that does that not say it all right there?
That's what I'm saying, because like, is there anyone more repulsive as a head coach in recent memory than Adam Gase? And I mean that as respectfully as possible.
The next name I was going to throw in there was Mike McCoy.
Oof. That's a name. Yeah, I mean, like, you're starting to get to like the Greg Schiano's of the world, you know, when it comes to like bad tier head coaches, like bad, bad.
Mike McCoy had a better winning percentage, by the way.
Oh my gosh.
Vic Fangio.
Oof. They had those Chargers teams were interesting, and then he just came here and just died. Like, I mean, his career just flamed out completely.
Yeah,
Where is he?
He's out of coaching. He got fired at midseason twice in a row. Fired by the Broncos in 17, fired by the Cardinals in 18 as offensive coordinator. Coincidentally, after losing to the Broncos.
Oh my goodness.
Man alive, it's something. Anyway, it's time now for the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Gambling Challenge with our friends Ty Cal, Cade, and Evan of the Just Us Guys podcast. Ordinarily, in this spot, we would pick the Broncos game, but of course, they're done. So we're going to check out the games going on this weekend in the AFC West, and we're going to start off with the Raiders hosting the Philadelphia Eagles, and of course, the Raiders, after last week, they're favored, but only by 2.5. Who do you have, Neil?
Oh, man, I've actually seen a lot of people who are on the Eagles in this game, and I do wonder if some of those emotional juices were kind of, you know, jumped up for everything that involved John Gruden, right? I'm not trying to say that the player, I don't know, it's just one of those things. I mean, you saw Derek Carr come out, you saw Darren Waller come out and kind of in support of someone who's helped them throughout their careers, and I wonder, you know, how much of that emotion, you know, that came from losing a coach in the middle of the year, you know, someone that clearly meant a lot to some of these players, you know, I wonder how much that kind of propelled them to a victory against a division opponent, and I wonder if there's a little bit of that come back down to earth vibe this week against an Eagles team that really has been okay against teams that are okay on offense. I mean, that's kind of been the kryptonite right now for the Eagles. I mean, losses to the Cowboys. Who else they lose to? The Chiefs. There was another big game that they had where they lost to a team that scores a lot of points. Vegas right around middle of the pack when it comes to offensive production. So I think the Eagles are a live team to win this game.
Yep. I've got the Raiders in this one. I think they will be on an emotional high again, but I also just think they're a better team. And we saw last Sunday that without John Gruden screaming at him, that they can play a good, solid game. They dominated the Broncos. And then real quick, Chiefs, they're a 4.5-point favorite against the Titans. But the Chiefs, you know, they say good teams win, great ones cover. They haven't really covered. I believe they're 4-13 against the spread in their last 17 games. I'm cool with the Titans here in this one.
To me, it's the ultimate sell high spot on the Titans. I think they're riding high after that Monday Night Football win on the Bills. Chiefs 21 unanswered points in the second half against Washington. I think they're going to get right here in the second half. I'll lay the points with the Chiefs.
Guys, what do you think? That's a real good way to put it, I think, even though it goes against the way I see it for the Chiefs, that the Titans are kind of sell high. They were lucky to win on Monday night.
Yes, and they screwed up my parlay. The Bills' money line was the fifth leg of my money line parlay. I'm still not over it, Mace. And
don't blame the Titans. Blame Josh Allen. By the way, has anyone talked about Josh Allen's cleats?
No. That's a good
his
point.
His footing there on that sneak, that's what caused it to break down. He couldn't get his footing there on that point at that point in the field.
It was weird. I found myself disgruntled with the play call. I liked going for it on fourth down, and I honestly don't hate the idea of, you know, just going a little QB sneak up the middle. But if it's, you know, you win, the game ends if you don't get this play, like I'm doing something where I can give Allen a little bit of time, maybe a little play action, roll out to the left, let him run for it, a little pass option. I hated the play call.
Yeah, see, to me, it's just get the first down, right?
Yeah.
And the sneak is the best way to do it. Look, the Broncos made the sneak work last night.
It's a good point. Yeah, just... And that's the thing is, it reminds me of how beatable every team is in the NFL, not just in the AFC or the NFC, but, you know, you had the Bills riding real high in that game. You know, they'd been playing real well up until that point. They get punched in the mouth against Tennessee. It's honestly why I'm really intrigued with that that Baltimore-Cincinnati game as well. You got Baltimore riding high after they throttled the Chargers last week. Let's see what they can do against the Bengals team with four wins.
Are you buying the Bengals?
I am at 6.5, at least this week. Yeah. And I like what they're doing, man. I think Joe Burrow has some tenacity, a real degree of toughness with him.
It's bad news for the Broncos seeing the Bengals in December.
Yeah, very.
That was the game a lot of people had them winning, and I did as well.
Yeah.
I'm not as sure about that anymore.
Oh, how the tables can turn so quickly.
Well, the Bengals have a quarterback. That's the thing.
And a good quarterback, man. He is a gamer. It takes a special someone to want to be in Cincinnati. You know, and it seems like Joe Burrow's kind of embodying that Jamar Chick. They got a lot of flack for not drafting Penny Sewell and getting him some, you know, offensive line help, but that hasn't been an issue so far.
It hasn't. Sometimes the best thing they'll protect a quarterback is a quarterback himself being able to diagnose pressure before it happens and also being able to make quick decisions. Joe Burrow makes quick decisions. Yes. And, oh, by the way, Jamar Chase that you mentioned, 20.5 yards a catch, five touchdown receptions in six games. Jamar Chase is putting together an all-time rookie season for a wide receiver.
Is he your rookie of the year, leader of the pack right now, all things considered?
He has to be, doesn't he?
Yeah, and I think he is the betting favorite right now, actually. It's like him or Mac Jones. Like, those are like the two guys who people are kind of high on. And Mac Jones has been okay, but what Jamar Chase has done has been remarkable.
It has. And, oh, by the way, for the Bengals, they've got Baltimore in Baltimore for this game. And that's another reason why I'm not sure I'm going to buy them for this game just yet. But then they're at the Jets, Cleveland at home, the two very winnable games. They have a very good shot to be 6-3 at their bye week. And then on the other side of that bye, Raiders, Steelers, Chargers, 49ers, Broncos, Ravens, Chiefs, Browns. So they do have some toughies there down the stretch. But based on what we saw with them taking the Packers to overtime, it might be equal to the challenge here.
Yeah, it is. It's crazy. It really is. They start out 3-0. You think of everything in the world is coming together for this team. And now you start talking about how the Bengals and some of these other games that you mentioned, you know, it's just all kind of going the other way and flipping upside down on its head. It's going to be interesting because at the end of the day, though, you know, they're only a game below, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. You rip off a couple of wins and there you are, a couple above 500. And, you know, who knows at this point? It's just, I don't know. I mean, you're not even at the halfway point of the season yet. And I know, as frustrating as it is here in real time, and as you know, the thing is, there are issues that are happening in real time have been happening for years now. So it makes you think that they're not going to be able to get over this hump. But at the end of the day, you know, if there's any ounce of pride left in this organization, you know, there's talent there. Let's see if they can put it together. I'm just not confident.
Absolutely. Danny, want to tell us what we missed?
The NBA going on tonight, first week here, and the Nuggets have their second game of the week, the home opener this evening against San Antonio. We'll talk a little bit about that game next, and also MLB playoffs. Mace, I'll give you a minute to vent if you'd like in the next segment, and then we'll talk about tonight's game between the Red Sox and the Astros. That's coming up next right here on Afternoon Drive with Piro and Mason. DNA not for imitation, but DNA an abomination. This how this where you in the matrix, dodging bullets, reaping what you're sowing, stacking up the footage, living on the go and sleeping in the filler, sipping from a Grammy, walking in the building, diamond in the ceiling, marble on the floors, peaches out the window, peeking out the window, baby in the pool, Godfather.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason. Watch us on MileHighSports.com. Listen on Mile High Sports Radio 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3 FM in Denver. You hear that song, Walking on the Sun by Smash Mouth. And you know something, Danny, that's kind of an appropriate choice, I think, because there are probably a lot of people in Broncos country who would like to launch Vic Fangio or one of his coaches onto the surface of the sun at this point.
That was kind of the inspiration, a little hot seat, a little bit of heating up around here. So I think that some people are definitely hot about the result last night, and it seemed like a fitting tune for the occasion.
Better that people are hot than apathetic, and that's the thing. People are still angry. If these losses continue, it's going to become apathy, and that's what really concerns NFL teams, is when their fans stop caring. At least Broncos fans at this moment still care. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Presented by Sasquatch Casino in Blackhawk. Just in case you missed it. Presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
Just in case you missed it, the Spurs taking on the Nuggets tonight, 7 p.m. Mountain Time at Ball Arena. And with the Avs on a three-game losing streak and the Broncos falling in four straight, do the Nuggets give Denver sports fans a lift with a second win to start their season?
I think so, and I think you hit the nail on the head. Give Denver sports fans a lift. I don't think the Avs are going to stay down like this forever. I think, again, it's NHL, it's a long season, NBA, same thing. Can't make too much of the start, but boy, was that an impressive game that the Nuggets had on Wednesday night going down to Phoenix. I didn't think, and getting the win, I didn't think they could do it. They manhandled the Suns. I think they'll be 2-0 after tonight.
There was a lot of noise coming from Michael Malone and Nikola Jokic in the preseason about, oh, we're not ready, our plays aren't being run correctly, our defense sucks. I mean, they looked fine to me night one against Phoenix, and I think San Antonio, you know, kind of like Bill Belichick, you know, I'm trying to figure out his next chapter in his coaching career. I think you got Greg Popovich kind of mulling the same thing. I don't think the Spurs are going to make the playoffs this year. So I think Denver should absolutely start the season 2-0. The Nuggets are the team to get on the wave on this season right now with the Avs being down.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned it with Popovich. In the NBA, you can't draft a quarterback and hope that he's going to be that quick fix. It's probably not getting fixed for Pop in San Antonio before it's time for him to retire.
I don't disagree, which is unfortunate, but I mean, he had a nice little run there.
Yeah, he did. An incredible run.
Just in case you missed it, the MLB playoffs, all about runs, and the Red Sox taking on the Astros in Houston tonight, 6:08 p.m. Mountain Time. Houston ahead in that series 3-2. And Mace, if you want, you can comment on your Braves. A rough night for Atlanta last night against the Dodgers, but First, do you think we're getting a game 7 in the ALCS?
I think the Red Sox are going to take it to 7 tonight. And I also think tomorrow the Dodgers are going to take it to 7, and I think the Dodgers are going to win that series. The Braves, that was their shot. I think going back to Atlanta, even though they won the first two games at home to start this series, going back to Atlanta with a chance to clinch, I think it's actually going to be a home field disadvantage for the Braves this weekend, because that is a fan base, and I know this from my own experience, that is conditioned to believing the banana peel is around the corner. One little thing goes wrong. Leadoff walk. There's an error by Dansby Swanson. It's short. And you're going to hear that murmur in the crowd that, like, oh God, we're screwed. It's over. I think the Braves would be better off not being around their fans, because one thing goes wrong, then everyone's going to assume that the collapse is coming. I think LA gets the two games this weekend.
Well, hopefully the Braves players have some confidence, a little bit more confidence in the fan base. I think the Red Sox get the win here. I think they're going to go 7 there. And I don't know how to feel about your Braves, because they've had them on the ropes, the Dodgers, and I really want to see them finish them off. I really do, but it's the Dodgers. And I would not be surprised if they come back against the Braves. I'm going to say the Braves win the series, but I'm riding with the Red Sox and the Braves right now. We'll see what shakes out.
Oh, man, I hope you're right, but I don't have any good feelings. Ugh. I feel like this is going to be a bad weekend for me and everyone else who gives a damn about the Atlanta Braves. That was, just in case you missed it, brought to you by Mountain High Appliance. Of course, if you want to try before you buy, Mountain High Appliance lets you do that at any of their locations in the Denver area and their clearance center as well. And you've heard about supply chain issues. No such thing at Mountain High Appliance. They got you set up. And again, like I said, you want to try it before you buy it, Mountain High Appliance will do that. And they'll provide you the best customer service in the area. So check them out at mountainhighappliance.com. Coming up on the other side, we're going to continue diving into the aftermath of the Broncos' fourth consecutive loss. Shelby Harris said something interesting after the game, and I think what he said may actually reveal some deeper issues with the Denver Broncos and what's going on and the culture of the Broncos right now under Vic Fangio. We'll get into that on the other side. Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason. Neil Opiro in for Eric Goodman. I'm Andrew Mason, Mile High Sports Radio, milehighsports.com.